Lord, we come before you. We thank you for this Sunday, Lord. We thank you that the weather is starting to turn. And Lord, thank you for this building. Thank you that we're able to gather together as a body of believers to worship you. So this morning, Lord, as we continue to go through the Bible, as we continue to go through the book of Revelation, we pray that you would continue to speak to us. My prayer this morning, Lord, is that you would give me the power of the Holy Spirit to speak forth the truth of your word, and that we that are here would be changed by your word, and that we would receive and take to heart, Lord, what it is you want to say to us. So again, Lord, thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One more thing. Please silence your cell phones if you have cell phones, so don't go off during the service. Okay, so as a follow-up to last week, you know, we started Revelation 13 a couple weeks ago, and we've been talking about the first beast, which was the Antichrist. That's according to the scripture. And some questions have come up about that, okay? So one thing I want to point out to you is, one of the questions is, why would God allow this to happen? Why would God allow this Antichrist to rise on the scene, et cetera, et cetera? Well, here's the thing. The reason that God allows those things is because we as humans need to have a choice. We need to have a choice because, look, the best way I could put it to you is like this. When I married my wife, I didn't have a gun to my back to marry my wife. I married my wife because I loved her. I do love her. My love has only grown stronger and greater for her. And hopefully the same for me. But my point is, I married her because I love her, and I wasn't forced to do it. And so oftentimes when God allows certain things is because he's testing us to see what we're going to choose. And he gives us a free will to do that. And so that's one of the reasons why he allows these things to happen. But remember, as we talked about, as we've been going through Revelation, God is still merciful in his judgment, as we've been learning. Another thing I want to point out to you is Satan is the master deceiver and counterfeiter. Look, if you look at our culture today, you look at the world today, there is the stage being set for deception, isn't there? Just look around you. We're going to talk about that a little bit more as we get into the text this morning. So he's a master, and he's a master deceiver and a counterfeiter. And then one more thing as we get into this morning, as you've probably noticed, Revelation has called Satan the dragon, okay? And last week we talked about the first beast, who is the Antichrist. Well, today, as we finish this chapter, we're going to talk about the second beast, and he is the false prophet. And the way to look at it like this is this. Because Satan is a counterfeiter, he's counterfeiting the Trinity. As a Christian, the Bible teaches that God is a triune God. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, Satan has his unholy Trinity, Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet who kind of acts as a false Holy Spirit. So I just want to point that out as we start the text today. So let's read the first couple verses, chapter 13, verse 11, and then we'll back up. And this says, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. Now, you know it's not the beast that we talked about in the beginning of the chapter. He came out of the sea, which represents the nations, specifically the Mediterranean nations. And another beast, that word for another means another of the same kind, beast coming out of the earth. And in this case, what that represents is this beast is going to come out of the worldly systems on earth, okay? So then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. So you're going to look and you're like, oh, there's a lamb. Oh, a lamb is nice and a lamb is peaceful, right? But then it says that this lamb spoke like the dragon. And who's the dragon? The dragon is Satan. So he is going to look peaceful, but he's going to speak like the dragon. And here's the thing, too. He's not what he seems to be. You ever meet somebody, and as you get to know them after your first meeting with them, they begin to reveal who they really are, and they're not who they seem to be? This is what the idea there. And so if we're thinking about the first beast, the Antichrist, he's a political world leader. Look at the second beast, who is the false prophet, and we'll talk about how we know he's the false prophet. He's more of the religious leader. He's going to get people, as we learn through this text, to worship the beast, to worship the Antichrist. Now, we know he's the false prophet because he's mentioned in Revelation elsewhere. And I'm not going to turn there for sake of time because we're going to turn some other places. So Revelation 16, 13, Revelation 19, 20, and Revelation 20, verse 10 mentions the fact that this second beast is the false prophet. Okay? And so, look, you're sitting here going, okay, that's great, wonderful. It says the false prophet. The idea there is it's emphatic. It's the false prophet. And remember how we learned last week, I think it was last week or the week before, that the Bible talks about that there are many antichrists already in the world, not the antichrist. There's a the antichrist coming, okay? And so from the beginning of the beginning of the nation of Israel, there's always been what they call false prophets. Okay, so what's a false prophet? Well, I'm glad that you asked me that question, because what we're going to do is we're going to take a field trip. So put your finger here in Revelation, and I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13. So go all the way back to the left-hand side of your Bible. Go to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and then 13 chapters in. So Deuteronomy 13. We're going to be at verse 1. Deuteronomy 13, 1. Says this in Deuteronomy 13:1, if there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Verse 4, you shall walk or you shall follow after the Lord your God and fear him. And when it says fear him, it doesn't mean you're afraid. The idea is having a reverential fear for God. And fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. But verse 5, but that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst. So all the way back in Deuteronomy 13, God is warning his nation about false prophets. Now, another place to turn. Oftentimes with these kind of subject matters, you wonder, what does Jesus think about this? Well, turn to Matthew chapter 7. I'm glad you asked that. Matthew chapter 7. We'll be at verse 15. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, verse 15. By the way, I love as a pastor hearing you guys turn your pages. It's awesome. So awesome. I mean, I just could do this all day. Matthew 7, verse 15 says this, beware of false prophets. Gee, I wonder what Jesus means. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, and guys, this is a verse that should wake you up this morning. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. See, how do you know you're a Christian if you do the will of the Father in heaven? Interesting. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Wow. So if you wanted to sum this up in a sense, false prophets are deceivers. They're deceivers, just like Satan, just like the Antichrist. The false prophet is going to be a deceiver. Now, one more place before we go back to Revelation. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 will be at verse 1. says this in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Peter is speaking, and he says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction." So, like, this is happening today, okay? I'm going to name names here. There is a church out in California called Bethel Church. And Bethel Church has done all kinds of crazy, bizarre things. In fact, one of the speakers one time said that Jesus came to him and Jesus asked this speaker for forgiveness. That's blasphemous. That's destruction. That's destructive heresies, as we say right here. This stuff is going on today. It's getting worse. I don't know if you've noticed that. It's getting worse. It's another sign that we are in the last days, in fact, because these things are going to get worse. So verse 2, "And many will follow their destructive ways." Do you see it? They promise things often to people that aren't going to come true. It's evil. "Because of whom the way of the truth will be blasphemy." The way of the truth will be the gospel. "By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words." Tell me if you have not seen somebody who's quote-unquote a prophet tell you that you need to send them money. Yeah. See, not just false teachers, false prophets, because oftentimes false prophets will say, "I'm speaking for God." Uh-oh, I wouldn't want to be them. And like we read in Deuteronomy, how do you know if someone's a false prophet? Well, if what they say is supposed to happen and it doesn't, kind of makes them a false prophet. Thank God we're in the age of grace, because if we were still in the Old Testament, that means they should be put to death. Interesting. See, you got to be very careful. When you're speaking for God, you better be speaking his word. "By covetousness," that's why I take this serious, "by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber." And so why am I reading this? I'm reading this to you because, look, we are being set up for this. Just like there's false prophets now, there's going to be the false prophet who is going to come on the scene. We're being set up for it now. Now back to Revelation 13. "And so I saw another beast," verse 11, "coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth," listen to this, "and causes the earth and those who dwell in it," remember that's talking about unbelievers, "to worship the first beast," that is the Antichrist, "whose deadly wound was healed." And we talked about this last week. There's going to be, for lack of a better way to say it, a false resurrection to deceive. And so this false prophet, this second beast, is going to get the earth to worship the first beast, to worship him as God. And then it says this, something very interesting. He says he's going to, or verse 13, "he performs great signs." And what's a sign? A sign points to something. "He performs great signs so that even makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men." See, his miracles will dazzle and deceive. Wow. Interesting. See, we talked about this before. Remember in 2 Thessalonians I read? Well, let's turn there, okay? Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to hit one verse, verse 9. I want to read this to you to remind you. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. Comes after 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 2, verse 9. "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with power, signs, and lying wonders." Why? To deceive the people. To deceive people. That's the point. Look, deception is at work today. And I said this before, and I'll say it again. Unless you're in the Word of God and praying to your Father in heaven, you are going to be deceived. I see it all the time. Social media has a big play in that. And now there is also this thing called AI. How many of you guys ever heard of AI? You can turn back to Revelation 13, by the way. What is AI? AI is artificial intelligence. And what's been interesting to watch is, especially in the last few years, this artificial intelligence, we have unleashed something I think that we're not ready for. It's going way too fast. And see, if you've been paying attention too, and listen, one of the reasons I'm not sharing articles about all this is there's just so many. And in a week, it's obsolete. Articles become obsolete in a week because there's just so much going on so fast. I can't even keep up with it. I was looking into sharing some things possibly, but it was like, this is already not, you know, relevant now. But see, one of the things also with artificial intelligence is robotics. How many of you guys are aware of the fact that they've been having breakthroughs in robotics to the point where it looks like they have robotics that look like a real woman or a real man? So you take that real robot, or that not real robot, but you take that robot who looks realistic, and then you add AI, oh boy, you got trouble. You got trouble. So some of these things, as we read this, it's not far-fetched because we're seeing it become a part of our culture today. Are we not? Now, he goes on, he says, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth, and by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image. Now, that word for image, it could be translated image, figure, likeness, icon, okay? To make an image who was wounded by the sword and live. So this image is supposed to look like the beast, that is the Antichrist, who was injured, who was wounded by the sword. And then verse 15, he was granted power to give breath or life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And so this image, now what is the image? We're not really sure. Is it a statue? If you guys have read the Old Testament book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar had a 40-foot statue, I believe it was 40 feet, where you had to bow down to it, and if you didn't, you'd be thrown in the fire. Remember Meshach, Radshach, and Abednego? They didn't bow down, okay? There could be a statue. It could be some kind of robot. It could be, we're not sure. But the fact that now AI is so prevalent, is it hard to imagine that could happen? In fact, I have something for you this morning. So you want to hit the lights? Just to show you how easy AI is these days, okay? Listen, something, you know that I'm busy right now in my life because I'm pastoring church, a full-time job, but I also like to work out too, guys. I also like to work out.
A while since we talked, but I've been busy. Training hard, eating right. I'm not the same guy you saw before. These arms didn't come easy. Early mornings, late nights, but every rep has been worth it. Strength feels good, energy's higher than ever, just staying consistent.
Wait. Now, honestly, when you look at that, they took it down, but if you look at that, that looks like my face, doesn't it?
Yes.
Okay, but here's the thing too. Because I work out, I get hungry sometimes, and because I get hungry sometimes I get hangry, unfortunately.
The order! It's for Chris!
I can check on it for you, sir.
No, you don't have to check! It's for Chris!
I'll grab it right now, one moment, please.
It's for Chris!
Yes, sir.
Oh, wait, there's more. Listen, do you know how I tell you I don't like birds? I don't like bats. But here's the thing I do like. I love dogs.
Ready to meet the crew? Let's go.
Come on, gang!
That's all 1,000 of them pouring in.
Look at this!
Every tail wagging, every nose busy. It's like a river of fur. This big one here. Daisy, she never misses a hug.
Catch some water, everyone. Stay hydrated.
Best seat in the house right here. Even the tiniest pups get their moment.
That's it?
Perfect.
It's hard to keep them in our backyard. One more thing, look, as a pastor of this church, I love you guys, and sometimes I just want to be close to you.
I feel like getting closer to you today. You ready? Here I come!
Oh, we got you, Pastor!
Yes, that's the love right there!
Easy now, set me down nice and easy. See, trust and joy. Let's praise Him together!
Amen!
Amen.
Love you all, let's keep that...
Okay, that's it. No, I'm not going to do that. Yay! No, okay. Here's the thing. You know how those videos came about? My son has an app on his phone. And months ago, he asked me, hey, Dad, can you turn to the left and turn to the right and say these numbers? And that's what he was able to get from it. Now, there are other ones. I have all kinds of ones on my phone that he did. Some of them are unrealistic. Like, there's one where I'm in the pool, and I literally merge into the side of the pool. Obviously, you can see that that's fake, but quite honestly, let's be real here. If you didn't know me and you saw that, some of that, what would you think? that it's real, that that's who I am. See how easy it is? See how easy it is? And see, we live in a culture today where this kind of stuff is being used. Look, can AI be used for good things? Sure, it can, but here's the problem. We have unleashed something that we're not fully understanding about, and it's moving way too quick. But can you understand how the Antichrist, how this false prophet can take AI and make an image seem to have life? It's crazy, isn't it? Again, it's easy, it's making it easier and easier to be deceived. And here's the thing, if you didn't know me, you would think some of that stuff is true. And I don't yell at people at Chick-fil-A, just so you know. Not all the time. I do get hangry sometimes, I'll be honest, I do. And I wish that I had those arms like that. I'm working on it, but. And I do love dogs, but not that many dogs. Whew. And I do love you guys, but I'm not going to crowd surf, sorry. A couple things I want to read to you about this. He performs great signs, and he makes fire down come from heaven on earth in the sight of men. Knowing all this, the emphasis on signs and wonders, listen, you need to hear this, among some Christians is frightening. Some Christians say or think you can really know where God is and where his power is by signs and wonders. Thinking this way is to leave yourself wide open to deception. Years ago, there was a large multi-denominational conference of people who thought this way, and their slogan on a huge banner over the conference platform read, "Unity under signs and wonders." That's a unity that Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet could all join in. Signs and wonders will be present among Christians, but the real marks of God's work, listen to this, are love and truth. Another thing, we all have fascination with the supernatural. We do, it's true. But do not let your fascination cause you to believe that everything that appears supernatural is from the Lord, because it's not. God's not going to make you get on your hands and knees and bark like a dog. That's happening in churches. They blame it on the Holy Spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. We must test everything, and here is the problem that we have. We must test everything against Scripture and run from what is contrary to God's word. And see, we don't want to take the time to do that. We'll just believe anything. See, what was really funny is some of these false prophets, these faith healer people, during COVID, said they had the gift of healing. So I thought, okay, if they do, why don't you go to the hospitals and heal everybody with COVID? But they never did. Because it's God who heals, not them. They're just a vessel being used. In that case, they're not being used of God. But see, again, we're being set up for deception. Being set up for deception. Again, verse 14, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the signal, in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth, again, every time that phrase is used, those who dwell on the earth or earth dwellers, it's talking about unbelievers, by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. And he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And so look, this image is set up, some kind of image is going to speak, and it's also going to have the ability to know who is worshiping the Antichrist or not, and those who don't are going to be put to death. Like I said, we've seen it before in Scripture. Look at Daniel chapter 3, I believe it is. You see the technology is here. Remember, Satan is a deceiver, and he's a counterfeiter. Read something to you about this. It seems from Revelation that the image of the beast may be technically integrated with the mark of the beast's capabilities and connected to some type of satanically driven AI that will give the image life. It is not clear from the passage whether the image is a specific idol in one location or if each worshiping household or person will have an idol of the beast. What do you have in your hand? You have cell phones now. So your phone could be enabled to show a hologram or some kind of thing, artificial intelligence thing of the beast. That's crazy. In either case, the ancient demonic practice of idol worship will be prevalent again during the tribulation period, but likely with some technical and demonic twists that will make it even more diabolical. See, here's the thing. The Antichrist wants the deception as strong as possible, so the image is given breath to speak, to command to worship, and to mete out capital punishment to those who refuse adoration of the idol. When political power and man's religion are wedded, Satan is indeed the master of ceremonies. So think about this. The first beast is a political world leader. The second beast is a religious leader. You put them together, what do you have? Satan's playground. That's what you have. And it's happening. You're seeing it. Now, do we know who the false prophet is today? No, we don't. We don't, just like we don't know who the Antichrist is. So to stand here and speculate and tell you these things, yeah, there are people who are alive today that have some of that element. But can I tell you, like I said last week, there are people. Every last president has been the Antichrist, according to people, right? So, and I think the reason that that happens is because it's trying to desensitize us to the real thing. There's a problem today in our world with video games. People who play those war games and shoot people and all kinds of stuff. There was a video game called Grand Theft Auto that came out years ago. Well, it's like terrible. But the more you play this game, they've done studies, the kids become desensitized to the things that are going on. So in Grand Theft Auto, you can steal a car. You can do things with a girl you shouldn't do. And then for those shooting games, you can shoot people and kill them. It makes you desensitized to the real thing so that when the real thing happens, you don't even have any sensitivity to it. That's why all this stuff is happening. That's why you have all this talk about, for years, we've had this talk. We were just talking about this yesterday here. Last 25 years, one of the problems nowadays is the younger generation thinks we're all crazy who are older because of prophecy. Because for the last 25 years, we have prophecy teachers write books and say, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And then when it didn't, it's like, you guys are fools. But see, the reason I think that that has been allowed to happen is because what it's doing is it's desensitizing people to what's going to really happen. That's why you got to be in the Word. The safest place to be, believe it or not, is in the Scripture. Tell me if I'm wrong about that. It washes your mind every day. If you're watching YouTube videos or listening to podcasts more than you read the Bible or study the Scripture, you're going to be deceived. Case in point, true confession. There was a political, or not a political, there was a conservative podcaster who I used to listen to years ago. And the dude was known because, first of all, he wasn't even a believer, but he would yell and scream at people. And he'd scream about issues. And I listened to him. And what I found, what happened to me was when I listened to him over a period of a couple weeks, guess what I would do? I'd get mad and scream at people. And I'd be like doomsday guy. Oh, the economy's going to collapse. Our president right now is a fool. Instead of what Scripture says to pray for our president. Right? See how easy it is? So if you're watching YouTubes, which, listen, I know some of you are, and are listening to podcasts more than you're reading the Scripture, you're going to be deceived. You're going to be deceived. Now am I opposed to listen to a podcast here and there? No. Am I opposed to watching? No, I'm not. But here's my point. You have to be very, very careful. And nowadays, because of AI and because of other things, it's getting very, very hard to know what the truth is. But here's the thing. I know what the truth is. It's right here. It's in some of your laps. This is the truth. That's where you got to consult it. I talked about this last week. You see everything with a biblical worldview. It's like if I take my glasses off right now, I can see you, but I can't see close up like this. So I have to put my glasses on. If I really want to see what's going on, I have to have a biblical worldview of everything. Through the lens of Scripture. And in order for that to happen, you got to read the Bible. Amen. Good luck not doing that. Verse 16, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their foreheads. Now, no matter who you are during this time, you are going to have to receive this mark. Why? Verse 17, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And so in other words, you have to get this mark. And see, what's interesting is, and people miss this sometimes, it says on the right hand or on the forehead. Why? Because that's where the beast was wounded. Let me read to you again. In an early Revelation, it says, I saw one of his heads, as it were, been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who is like able to make war? And so there is a verse in Zechariah, an Old Testament prophet, who says he's going to be hit with a sword on his right hand and his forehead. That's why the mark has to be there. Isn't it kind of like, you know, they would do it as an honorarium to the beast and to his system. Now, how many of you guys have ever heard the term mark of the beast? Okay, a lot of you have, right? And you, I'm sure you've heard all kinds of things about the mark of the beast, okay? Well, let me read the last verse, and then we're going to discuss this. We're going to take the last remaining moments I have, and we're going to talk about this. So verse 18, here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. His number is 666. By the way, I recently learned that there are some older manuscripts of the Bible that don't say 666, they say 616. But there's some, I don't know if I necessarily agree with, because look, there's this argument, and I don't want to go down this rabbit trail, so I'm going to give you a brief statement here. There are people who argue there are better translations of the Bible, et cetera, et cetera. There's different families of manuscripts, and sometimes the people who have older manuscripts doesn't mean they're necessarily better. But anyway, the point is, there is a number, okay? And I'm going to read some things to you about this number. This verse indicates God-given wisdom is necessary for understanding the meaning of the mark and the name or the character of the beast. However, the number 666 has become very controversial and has stirred more speculation than almost anything else in the Bible. Like, it's to the point now where if you're at work and you're entering numbers and they're 666, I can't enter this. Like, this number, these numbers have magical powers, okay? Before the invention of Arabic numbers, 1, 2, 3, etc., the Jews and Greeks often used letters of the alphabet for numbers. The first 10 letters were used for the numbers 1 through 10. The next letter, 20, and then 30, and so on. It has been popular pastime to add up the letters in names to try to come out with a total of 666. Some have taken Nero Caesar and put it into Hebrew letters, which is Nero Kaiser, which is not normal, was the spelling of it, and had obtained a total of 666. However, the book of Revelation is Greek in the original, so this system is incorrect. By the way, how many of you guys ever heard that Ronald Reagan's the Antichrist? Because his name, Ronald, and his, I forget what his middle name is now, Wilson, and then Reagan, they're all six letters. So they say it was the Antichrist because of that. This is the kind of stuff that happens. Okay, that's called speculation. But see, here's the problem. We have people who write books who put on seminars about this stuff, and people follow it. It's all a deception, because it's taking you off what's the most important thing, which is Jesus and his word. Throughout history, people have tried to find 666 in almost every dictator or evil emperor that has come along. By various systems, the number has been applied to men such as Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, even to some United States presidents. We talked about that already. Some have assigned the number to the Pope. They came up with the correct figure by using the inscription dedicated to the Pope, which is inscribed around the top of the wall inside St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. It is said that adding up just the letter, that represents Roman numerals, the total comes to 666. There's nothing in the book of Revelation, however, that specifically tells us to add up the numbers in the name of the beast. Does it say that? Okay. The key, however, seems to be in the phrase, it is the number of man, literally the number of mankind. Many Bible expositors, which I agree with this, the number is six. The number of man is six, standing for mankind. This also, thing three, is the number of the Trinity. So threefold repetition, 666, could therefore simply mean the Antichrist is a man who believes he is God or declares himself to be God. You ever consider that? Now, the beast claims to be God. And if that is the case, he should be 777, because in biblical numerology, the number 7 is the number of perfection. This passage, in effect, says, no, you are only 666. You are short of the deity, even though you were originally created in the image and likeness of God. Most of the speculation on the meaning of this number is without profit or theological significance. And see, again, taking something that's in the scripture and running off with it, chasing after it with rabbit trails and all those things. You know how much I love rabbit trails. Here's the thing. Don't miss the point. Now, something else. Two more things I want to read to you about this. Two aspects of the Antichrist's reign are characterized as economic and religious. Scripture claims that he will suffer a fatal wound around the midpoint of the tribulation. However, he will rise from the dead, or seemingly, deceiving the world into believing that he is a deity, even claiming himself to be God. The nations will fall for this great deception. Sorry, I lost my place. The nations will fall for this great deception due to the catastrophic economic impact. The judgment of God has already begun on the earth. The masses are willing to surrender their personal liberties, swearing allegiance to the Antichrist in exchange for the ability to buy and sell. And we have seen that today with COVID. By the way, the COVID vaccine is not the mark of the beast. One thing I want to point out to you, in order to have a mark of the beast, you have to have a beast. Has the beast been revealed yet? No. So I know some of you have gotten it, just saying. There have been pastors who have said that. Those pastors who say that should say that because it's not true. However, the technology is there. And I would never get in this pulpit and tell you that. Much has been said regarding the infamous mark of the beast, or 666. Let's talk about what is actually it is and what it does not provide. First, the Greek word John uses for mark, I'm going to say it wrong, so I'm going to say it, which is in his day immediately brought to mind the images of names of Roman emperors found on coins. There was also slaves and soldiers who would take an identifying mark or brand, demonstrating their loyalty to their master or military commanders. And again, so look, you could take this mark not only to buy and sell, but also to show loyalty to the beast. Second, scripture is clear that this mark will be applied to one of only two places on the human body, the right hand or forehead. It also says the mark will be on, that is, the word on there is a P, it means upon, the hand or the forehead, not in it. So whatever this mark will be, it has been visibly seen or read electronically from the surface of the skin. This could refer to an epidural tattoo or a smart tattoo containing financial information. And by the way, you're probably saying, well, that's not true, Pastor. That's far-fetched. Well, I dug in my files. I found an article from 2006. You guys remember Netscape, that search engine? Okay, so this is back, when is this? This is back in January 19th, 2006. It says, computer chips under the skin of enthusiasts. I'm not going to read the whole article, I just want to make a point. Forgetting a computer passwords is an everyday source of frustration. How many can relate? And we can all relate to that, yeah, okay. But a solution may be a literal be at hand in the form of computer chips. With a wave of his hand, Amal Gastrafa, I'm going to say it wrong, a 29-year-old entrepreneur based in Vancouver, Canada, opens his front door. With another, he logs onto his computer. Tiny radio frequency identification as RFID computer chips inserted into Gafatrada's hands make it possible. Read you another story. Mikey Schuyler, a 28-year-old Brooklyn resident, said, it does give you some sort of power of abracadabra or making doors open and passwords enter just by a wave of your hand. The RFID chip in Schuyler's hand, which is smaller than a grain of rice, can last up to 100 years and was injected by a surgeon in Los Angeles. Tattoo artists, veterinarians also could insert these chips into people, he said. Now, am I saying that chips are the mark of the beast? No, but the technology is there. It's there. One more. This is 7 years later. This is in 2013. Would you rather wear a digital tattoo or take a pin instead of remembering your passwords? Motorola is working on it. So back in 2013, I haven't even looked at anything current to tell you what else they're doing. But here's the thing, guys. They're doing it. It's happening. These things are happening before our eyes, and it's scary. See, you know, look, I'm all for technology. I truly am all for technology. And sorry, I'm looking for something, and I think I didn't bring it. Bad pastor. Oh, no, it's right here. Perfect. All right. Technology can be used for good, just like anything else. But we got to be careful. See, this stuff, when we read these things, isn't so far-fetched anymore, is it? It's not. One more thing. We're going to end the study. This is from a gentleman named Amir Sarfati. He is a Jewish believer. He's over in Israel. He lives in Israel. He lives in the Galilee, area of Galilee. He actually has a Telegram thing, which I recommend you follow, because he's telling you what's really going on with the war. But he wrote a commentary on Revelation. And I want to read to you what he says about the mark of the beast. It's interesting. He says, first, this is not speaking of a Roman emperor's name. There are those, many of whom are in the camp, that says that Revelation took place around 70 AD. who have looked at the numbers and they sought to find their equivalent in Hebrew or Latin or Greek. They've then taken those letters, compared them with the emperors, and then said, aha, the problem is that, like the historians we've spoke of in this book, welcome, if you put 20 numerologists in 20 different rooms, they'll all come back with 20 different emperors. As we've said before, you can't just fit a backward-looking allegory peg into a future-looking literal hole. And again, this is why I encourage people, don't chase rabbit hole, don't go down rabbit trails, don't chase after this stuff. It's going to lead you to all kinds of bizarre, crazy things. And sometimes, because of the nature of the internet, you can look something up and you can be, 3 or 4 hours can pass by. Man, I didn't even read my Bible. I didn't even pray today. And I got to go to work now. That's how easy it happens. The context of this passage has its eyes on what is yet to come. There's nothing about a one religion worldwide worship of an image representing a global leader that even remotely fits any time in history. Keep that in mind for those people who say that this has already happened. Nothing like this has ever happened. Some things have been similar, but not fully. Twisting and contorting at this level is beyond even the most flexible of Olympic gymnasts. The number 666, or possibly 616, according to some early Greek manuscripts, is most likely referring to the future Antichrist. What exactly do these numbers mean? It is another one of the mysteries of the most intriguing of books. If God has left blank the final word in the sentence, the 666 guy is, then we shouldn't waste too much brain power in speculation. And it's true. Still, so many people run down the rabbit hole, I love this guy, of this creepy number and miss the overall point of the passage. The chapter is about two people who will rise up and take over the world. Rather than turning people to the worship of the living God, they will force the worship of the Antichrist. And those who don't worship his image will be put to death. To show loyalty to the beast, people will have to receive his mark. Without this identifier of allegiance to the Antichrist, a person will not be able to buy or sell. It will be a horrible time in which believers will suffer greatly through violence, poverty, and starvation. As for those who accept the mark, they will not only live under an oppressive government, but they will experience all other judgments as God's wrath is poured out on the earth. It is human nature, listen, and don't forget this. It is human nature to control others. It is. There is no greater evidence of this than in governments. Governments want power, and they usually get it by force or, as in many democracies, by deceit and by making promises to people that they never plan on fulfilling. So just to give a practical COVID, what did you have to do when you got your shot? You had to register. They knew who got the shot and who didn't, because one of the reasons they use COVID shots as a way to see how far they could push us. Now, if you got the COVID shot, I'm not picking on you. Okay, I'm not. I'm just making a point here. This chapter is not so far-fetched anymore, is it? It isn't. But here's the thing about all this. Who is in control? God's in control. Who are we to worship? Jesus Christ. Should we be worried about the Antichrist? No, we shouldn't. Should we spend our time speculating about who he is? Should we spend our time chasing to find out what the number 666 is? Sorry, I can't speak. Listen, I'm 50 years old. I've been a Christian since I was 23. I've heard and seen all kinds of things. All kinds of things. But the funny thing is, the more that I started to read the Bible for myself, the more I started to grow as a Christian, the more I realized some of this stuff was nonsense and deception. A lot of it is. Because what it does to us, as I said earlier, is it desensitizes us to what is really coming. That's the part that we should be concerned about. But here's what it is. If you're concerned about these things, here's one way to inoculate yourself against it. Get saved. Get saved. Become a Christian. Become a believer in Jesus Christ. If you're not a believer here this morning, here's what you need to know. You're a sinner, as all of us are. But see, God provided the ultimate perfect sacrifice on the cross. That's what the cross is. We can't see it now because of the screen. The cross, where Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed his blood, was buried, and raised again. That's what we're going to celebrate in a few weeks for Resurrection Sunday. That is the gospel. And see, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted in Christ, this is what you do. You say, Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that, Jesus, you came to this earth to take my place on that cross, and you died for my sins. Jesus, forgive me of my sins and be the Lord of my life from this day forward. And if you prayed that prayer, you're saved. So come up to me after the service. I'll give you a Bible. But see, for the rest of us, again, I'm going to boil it down real home here. If we know Jesus Christ and we know these things are about to happen, what should we be doing? Should we just be sitting around talking and discussing who the Antichrist is? We should be telling people about Jesus Christ. The one who set your soul free can set that person free. Understand? That's what our motivation and focus is. And listen, look, we teach the Bible verse by verse. So we've been going through Revelation. So just so happens we're in this chapter this Sunday. You know, if you've come here long enough, I don't just take opportunities every Sunday to talk about the Antichrist. Do I? For those of you who come here? I talk about when it's in the context of what we're covering. But I don't do that because we need to focus on what God is saying to us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for who you are. And thank you for your word. Thank you for these scriptures, Lord. Lord, we don't want to be deceived. So, Lord, help us not to be deceived. Lord, help us to use our time and our effort to open up our Bibles and read it and allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us every day. Help us to seek your face, Lord, every day in prayer. To pray for those who mistreat us, to pray for our president, to pray for our government, to pray for those in authority, our bosses, our coworkers, whoever. Lord, would we take that time, instead of being on our phone, instead of listening to podcasts, instead of watching YouTube, Lord, would we make the effort? Lord, you want to say something to us every single day, every single day. So, Lord, help us. Help us not to be distracted by these things. Lord, you love us. And that's why you sent Jesus to die for us. So, Lord, will we not forget that? And may we be not like these in this chapter who worship the beast. May we be like those who worship you, who humble ourselves, who are thankful and grateful for what you've done for us. And Lord, give us the motivation by your Spirit to go out and tell people about you. Not to be rude, not to be confrontational, not to be jerks, but lovingly tell people that Jesus has set me free. He can set you free too. Lord, would you work that in our lives? Please. Father, thank you again for your word. We ask you truly, Lord, to bless it in our lives, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.